Well, good weekday evening. Today is Thursday, April 25th, and you are tuned into the weekly edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. I'm your host, Brother Alan Weir, for this brief period of time when we come together for prayer, supplication, intercession, and petition on behalf of those of us who are parents and guardians, moms and dads of unsaved, backslidden, and wayward sons and daughters. This program, this podcast, actually was born about 2 years ago out of my own burden for the deliverance and salvation of my own adult son and daughter, who for years walked without having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They were raised in the church. They have ministers in their family and pastors. And they were in youth groups and went to Sunday school. But they never, as they grew up, never repented of their sins, admitted their need for a Savior, and surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. They never had an actual personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people are like that. They believe that if they are raised in the church and do church-related activities, that it automatically grants them salvation. But growing up in the church doesn't make you a Christian any more than living in a garage makes you a car. At one point in time, you have to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, surrendering your life to the Lord and having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ on your own. You can be a prodigal in church. There are many people who go to church and teach Sunday school, sing in the choir, participate in youth activities, maybe even deacons. You may be a pastor, but have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Only when you admit your need for a Savior and repent of your sins is your name written in the book of life. And so every week we come together in prayer, petition, supplication, and intercession for all of us who have sons and daughters who are either backslidden, maybe one time they were involved in the church and for whatever reason they have turned away from the Lord. Maybe peer pressure. Friends have ridiculed them for going to church. Maybe they have gotten caught up with partying or going out, or maybe living lives for themselves. Some, perhaps, we have prodigals who are maybe in bondage to drugs or alcohol. Some prodigals are in bondage to, perhaps, sex or are involved in gang activity. We have other prodigals, perhaps, who may be involved in a variety of other things, and they are drifting away, far away from the Lord. Some of us have prodigal sons and daughters who are incarcerated, and they are perhaps in correctional facilities, and we worry about them in those horrible, terrible environments. And so we hope and we pray that perhaps a prison ministry, maybe even another cellmate who is a believer, will witness to them and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some prodigals are teens, other prodigals are adults. Other prodigals are adults who maybe have gotten caught up with career, their jobs, or maybe their social activities, and they have pushed the things of eternity into the background, not giving any thought to their eternal souls and their destiny, whether or not they are saved and if their names are written in the book of life. And that's why we're here, to come together, to pray, touching and agreeing for our wayward prodigal sons and daughters, praying that the Lord would open up their eyes, touch their hearts, convict them of their sin, let them see their need for a Savior, and bring them to the point where they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is a live podcast, and we welcome your participation in it. If you're listening on the Podbean app, we would love to hear from you. Maybe you have a testimony you'd like to share, something that the Lord is doing in your life or in the life of your prodigal. Perhaps maybe there's a scripture you'd like to share. Maybe a word of encouragement that you'd like to share as well. Something you have to say can edify and encourage someone who's listening. I know many times I myself could use a word of encouragement. It hasn't always been easy for me. My son accepted Jesus Christ about a year ago, and now I continue to pray and fast for the deliverance and salvation of my unsaved adult daughter, that she may come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, realizing her need of a Savior, repenting of her sins, and fully and absolutely and uncompromisingly surrendering her life to Christ. I still pray for her. We all need to pray for each other's prodigal sons and daughters. Again, if you're listening live on the Podbean app and you want to come on the air, there is a phone icon that you can click on. And when we see your, I believe the icon lit up that you're on hold, I will plug you in. I'm not a very technical person. My dear brother Jamie, who is our sound man, and God bless you, brother Jamie, if you're tuning in, God bless you. We are praying for you. He taught me everything I know. I'm not a tech person, so if you call in, I will patch you in, and we will love to hear from you live. Just click on the phone icon on the Podbean app, and we will patch you in live to hear from you. At this time, we want to welcome listeners from a variety of localities. Right here in the United States, we have listeners in New York, California, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North and South Carolina, Oklahoma, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Idaho, and Georgia. We welcome parents of prodigal listeners in Alabama, Maryland, Tennessee, Texas, Ohio, Utah, Wisconsin, West Virginia, New Jersey and Montana, Illinois, Minnesota, Louisiana, New Hampshire, Oregon, Washington State, Rhode Island and Indiana, Arizona, Michigan, Iowa, New Mexico, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, Wyoming, and Nebraska. Internationally, we have listeners tuning in Mexico, Canada, Australia, France, Uganda, Brazil, the United Kingdom, Bosnia-Herzegovina, the Philippines, India, New Zealand, Germany, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Japan, Ireland, Russia, and most recently, we welcome Parents of Prodigals listeners from the Netherlands. We welcome all of you. You know, I mentioned all these states right here in the U.S. and all these countries. Despite the fact that our nationalities are different and our languages may be different, we all have one thing in common. We all have a burden for our sons and daughters who are not saved. We want their names written in the book of life. We don't want them to get left behind when the rapture takes place. That's correct. The next event on the prophetic biblical calendar is the rapture of the church, the taking up of all born-again believers. It's not a fairy tale. It's not pie in the sky. Maybe many of you have seen the Tim LaHaye movies, Left Behind. The rapture is when our Lord Jesus Christ returns to earth. The dead in Christ, according to the word of God, will rise first. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up with the Lord in the clouds. Jesus Christ will return to earth and remove all born-again believers, those who have died in the faith, and those who are still alive here on earth. It sounds incredible. It sounds like a science fiction movie to many. It is an actual event that is really going to happen. The Lord will rapture all born-again believers and remove them from the earth. When this happens, after it happens, there'll be a period of time called the Great Tribulation, when God will pour out his judgments on a rebellious and unrepentant world. It is, again, it is actually going to happen. It could happen tonight or tomorrow. We need to continuously pray and fast for our unsaved sons and daughters so that they do not get left behind and face this terrible time. We want their names again written in the book of life to experience the joy of salvation, attending the marriage supper of the Lamb, and spend eternity with the Lord. And that is what this podcast is all about. So touch and agree with me right now in an opening word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just quiet my heart before you. We all quiet our hearts before you in hushed reverence, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you for our salvation. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die for our sins, shedding his precious blood on Calvary for our sins. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for enduring the shame of the cross. And we praise you for rising from the dead in power and glory. We thank you, each one of us who is saved and listening to this podcast, for in our own unique way, reaching out to our individual lives, convicting us of our sin. Each one of us was involved in a different activity, doing a different thing, going to different places. We all have our own testimonies, Lord. But you reached out and saved us. We praise you and we thank you, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin. And your shed blood washed us clean, and we are your children now. We praise you, Lord God. We thank you so much for our salvation, that our names are written in the book of life, and we have eternal life, Lord God. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time when we all come together in prayer and petition and supplication and intercession for those of us who have unsaved sons and daughters that we want to see saved. We want them to have eternal life. We don't want them to get left behind when the rapture takes place or die in their sins and enter a Christless eternity. Bless this time together, Lord God. Encourage, strengthen, comfort, and edify. We worship and we praise you, Lord God. We thank you so much for this privileged time, Lord God. Let your anointing be on this podcast, Lord. Let it be all about you, Heavenly Father. Glorify yourself during this time. If there's anyone listening who is a prodigal, Lord God, I pray that you touch their hearts and touch their minds. Unstop their ears. Convict them of their sin. Let this be a time of blessing, of conviction. And let this be a time of deliverance and salvation. Now is the time. In Jesus' name, I pray all this, Lord God, and I thank you in advance because I know you're going to move. And you are moving now. Amen and amen. The title of tonight's devotional is Why Do Our Prodigals Rage? Why do our prodigals rage? And our scripture text is found in Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3. Psalm 2, verses 1 to 3. And I'll give you a few moments to find that scripture text in your Bibles. You know, a group called the Family Research Council recently released the newest edition of its Hostility Against Churches report, updated to include hostility incidents from 2023. Over the past 6 years, from 2018 to 2023, the FRC has identified 915 acts of hostility against American churches and believers. The types of acts identified included vandalism, arson, gun-related incidents, bomb threats, assault, and more. In 2023, acts of hostility against churches and Christians took place in 48 states, with more occurring in states with larger populations. California had the most incidents with 33, while Texas had 28 incidents. But have you ever wondered why there is so much hostility towards Christianity and believers in the United States, a so-called Christian country that's founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs? Well, there have been several basic factors that have been considered as to why. First is academia. More and more educational institutions dismiss believing in God as foolish and ignorant, fostering an atmosphere that is hostile to Christianity. Even many Christian schools, Bible colleges, and seminaries are compromising their standards and departing from biblical inerrancy and viewing many of the biblical events and miracles in Scripture, such as the parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Egyptian plagues, and most of all, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, as being just figurative and metaphors instead of being actual events that really happened. A second is the media, the proliferation of the number of shows that openly ridicule God, the Bible, and Christian values is growing. Even the portrayal of God as weak, the devil as misunderstood, and evil forces and spells as powerful tools for good is growing. Examples are shows like Charmed, Sabrina, Supernatural, and even worse, The Little Demon, a so-called cartoon comedy about Satan's daughter. This, in turn, is creating a growing interest among many young people to become involved in the occult. A third is political forces. Preaching against alternative lifestyles, for example, is viewed as hate speech. And an increasing number of municipalities are enacting laws against public evangelical meetings and revivals. On several occasions, believers have actually been asked to leave shopping malls for committing no other offense but wearing a t-shirt affirming their faith. Our enemy Satan is using these and other tools and situations to create an atmosphere that is poisoning the souls, hardening the hearts, and closing the minds of our prodigals to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's consider this as we read our scripture text together, but first, a little bit of background. In the ancient world, whenever a powerful nation had a change in kingship, this would create some political instability, resulting with the rulers of lesser nations under its control taking the opportunity to rebel against the new authority figures. Frequently, these nations would join forces in rebellion against the king's authority, such is the case in our scripture text. So let's read Psalm 2, verses 1 to 3, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version of God's Most Holy Word. Psalm 2, verses 1 to 3. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." Leave me alone. Stop preaching to me. Get off my back. Don't start. I don't want to hear it. Stop bothering me. I don't have time. You're annoying me. As parents of prodigal and unsaved sons and daughters, we have all heard these and many other responses whenever we try to witness to them or even just talk about the Bible, eternity, or just present the gospel itself. Sometimes the responses can be extremely hostile and aggressive. For example, we may play Christian music in our homes and get a hostile remark or smirk. Maybe our prodigals will see us praying over our meals and snicker. In our text, unbelievers are described as being in a rage. The Hebrew word for rage is ragash. Ragash. It was the word that describes the actions of high-spirited horses that were snorting, neighing and stomping as they prepare to rush into battle. When confronted about the truth of their sinfulness, the need to repent, and surrendering their lives to Christ, our unsaved prodigal sons and daughters can have a volatile reaction, also, so to speak, stomping as well. Our scripture text goes on to say that these unbelievers are obsessed with plotting or devising ways to rebel against God, that word plot being the Hebrew word chagah. Chagah, it means to think intently on, to plan out, to give obsessive thought to. And finally, these rebellious unbelievers are described as setting themselves together and conspiring and laying the foundation of firm defiance against God. The Hebrew words for this being yasab yasad. What an accurate picture of many of our prodigal, wayward, and unsaved sons and daughters as they refuse to turn to our Lord Jesus Christ for the deliverance and salvation of their souls. But what are some of the reasons why our prodigals are so hostile and resistant to the gospel? Why do our prodigals, like the unbelievers in our text, rage against God, focus on turning against him instead of turning towards him, and spur submitting to him? One reason why they rage is they don't want to submit. They don't want to admit their need for a savior. Our prodigals don't feel they need a savior, because they don't feel that they need to be saved from anything, because they don't feel that they're in danger at all. Many of our prodigals may not believe in hell. They may believe they are good enough to avoid hell, or they may believe that God is so loving that he won't send anyone to hell. A recent poll conducted several years ago by the Pew Research Center found that 72% of Americans believe in heaven, while 62% believe in hell. Now, you would think that these kind of percentages would have people thinking about their eternal destinations. However, the same research poll also found that 82% of Americans believed that they were good enough to go to heaven. But confront these same people that they cannot be saved by their good works, or just living a moral life, and they're not good enough to get to heaven on their own merit, and they would become directly confrontational and defensive. We need to let our prodigals know, as in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, that we are all unclean, and our own righteousness are like filthy rags. And that while our prodigals may think they can save themselves, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 makes it abundantly clear. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. The first reason why our prodigals rage against God leads us right into the second one. Because they believe that they don't need a savior, then they'll rage that they will not admit their sinfulness and lost condition, and trust in Christ for forgiveness and salvation. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus stated firmly, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. A third reason that they rage is they rage because they want to live for themselves and don't want to be bothered. Our unsaved and backslidden sons and daughters are too busy living their own lives and going about their own business to consider the things of eternity, the state of their own souls, and do not want us to bother them with Christian beliefs. But in Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells the story of the rich fool who bragged that he would eat, drink, and be merry. And then in verse 20, God gave the warning. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Another reason why our prodigals rage is found even closer to home. Our prodigals may rage against the hypocrisy, scandals, and circus-like atmosphere that is occurring in the church. Many of our prodigal sons and daughters see and hear money-hungry prosperity preachers, TV evangelists, living lavish lifestyles or see spectacles of wild behavior in churches. These things bring reproach upon the cause of Christ and foster prodigals with cynical and mocking attitude towards Christianity. It spoke well when the Bible verse said that at times the name of Christ is reproached among the Gentiles because of hypocrisy among believers. A fifth reason that they rage is they rage against having to submit to any authority. I have said it before in previous podcasts, and I'll say it again. The very idea of bowing their heads, bending their knees, and humbling their hearts is repugnant to our prodigals. We see very clearly in verse 3 where it says, rather than submitting and serving the Lord, the unbeliever wants to break any bond and cord of service. Later in the same psalm, in verse 12, it says that unless the unbeliever turns to the Lord in humility, that they would perish in the way. But there is also a wonderful promise to our prodigals as well, that also says, blessed would be all those who put their trust in him. And that's what we want our prodigals to do. Place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their deliverance and the salvation of their souls. Fellow parents of prodigal sons and daughters, considering the ungodly and antichrist atmosphere that we and our prodigals are living in, only the Holy Spirit of God can soften a hardened heart, unstop closed ears, and open eyes that are shut to the truth of God's love and the gospel of salvation. We need to continue to pray and fast, being salt and light, and being living epistles that can be seen and read by our wayward sons and daughters. But we always also have to keep in mind what Jesus said in the 16th chapter of John, that ultimately it is the Holy Spirit that convicts of sin, guide our prodigals into all truth, and turn a raging and rebellious heart to the Lord. Well, I pray that this devotional spoke to you and it ministered to me, because yes, I will be transparent. There are times, even before they both got saved, when my son and daughter would rage against God. Maybe in cynicism, maybe in ridicule, maybe making fun of apparent hypocrisy that they've seen in the church. The rage can take the form of mockery as well. And so many of our prodigals rage against our witnessing, rage against the Christian music we play, rage when they see us praying over our meals, rage when they hear us praising God in our homes, rage perhaps when they see us reading our Bibles. They snicker, they may smirk, they may even make mocking statements. Why are you reading that? Why are you wasting time praying? They may make other comments that are cynical or mocking. We can preach, we can testify, we can witness, and all those are important things to do. But only the Spirit of God, again, can convict someone of their sin and break a stubborn and hardened will. We need to pray that the Spirit of God does what is necessary in the hearts and minds and lives of our prodigal sons and daughters. There is too much at stake. Their eternal souls are at stake. Their eternity is at stake. Let's all continue to pray and fast for our prodigal sons and daughters, that they all come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, praying that the Holy Spirit of God bring them to their knees so that they no longer rage, but they submit and accept the Lord as their Savior. Well, we've come to the halfway mark of the Parents of Prodigals podcast, and at this time we break into a musical interlude that I pray will minister to your hearts and strengthen and bless you. And then when we return after this brief musical interlude, we're going to come before the throne of grace and present the prayer requests that we have before the Lord for several prodigal sons and daughters. So let's break into our musical interlude and stay tuned for the second half of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Be blessed.
Oh,
Solo el amor, Spanish for only the love of God could save, the blood of Jesus. The love of God is what compelled God to send his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that second one was, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. It's our prayer that the Holy Spirit of God whisper tenderly and softly into the hearts and minds of our prodigal sons and daughters, speaking to them about their need for a Savior, convicting them of their sin. Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For all those who ask, it is given. Those who seek, find. And those who knock, the door shall be opened." Now, what was being taught here regarding prayer was not vain repetition, but Jesus was talking about perseverance in prayer, not giving up, but continuously praying for whatever request that you have, bringing it before the Lord. And the Word of God says, men ought always to pray and not faint. Do not become weary and give up, but keep praying. Keep fasting and keep seeking the Lord on behalf of your prodigal son and daughter. Right now, we're going to go before the throne of grace. There is still time to get in your prayer request. Again, if you're on the Podbean app, you can type it in. We'll see it on our screen, and we'll touch and agree with you for your unsaved son and daughter. But let's get right to it right now. Our first request, and many of these are people that we pray for every week. We are going to continue to pray for them and persevere in prayer, continuously bringing them before the Lord until we reach breakthrough. Our first request, we always pray for two young men, both of them by the name of Joshua. And both these young men at one time were struggling with addiction issues, and the enemy had lured them away from the faith. Now, there have been some developments in the lives of both these young men. One of them has been coming to church on a regular basis. But we know the enemy works overtime to try to discourage that kind of thing and to lure young men, especially, back out into the world. Let's touch and agree for these two young men by the name of Joshua. Heavenly Father, we lift up, we thank you for these two young men, Lord God. Young men that the enemy would love to destroy their lives, Lord God, ruin their lives, and keep them in bondage to the things of the world. We thank you for them, Lord God, that you're moving in both their lives. And we pray, Lord, that you continue to move in both their lives. Lord, touch their hearts and touch their minds. Give them a heart to follow you, Lord God. Give them strength to persevere and resist temptation to go back out there. Whatever they're both struggling with, Lord God, deliver them from it. If it's addiction, deliver them from addiction. If it's any kind of vice, Lord God, deliver them. But Lord, bring down any stronghold that's keeping them from serving you, Heavenly Father. We just touch and agree right now for blessing to be upon their lives, Lord God. Steer them in the right direction, Holy Spirit. Lord God, the book of Proverbs talks about young men and the temptations that come in the direction of young men. Enticements, ungodly temptations, fleshly temptations, temptations to do illegal things and sinful things. Lord God, give both these young men wisdom, guidance, discernment, knowledge, direction, light. Lord, keep them and preserve them in the sheepfold, Lord God. We commit them both into your hands for safekeeping, Heavenly Father. Turn both these young men into powerful men of God. Work in their lives. Do what needs to be done. Perform spiritual surgery, heart surgery and brain surgery and soul surgery, Lord God, in both Joshua's lives. We thank you and we praise you. You're working, Lord God. You're working. You're doing your own thing in your own time, in your own way. We trust you, Lord, to finish the work you have begun in both their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for three young ladies by the name of Gabby, Valentina, and Angela. Now, one of these young ladies, I believe it's Angela, I do believe. Is it Angela? Well, it's one of these young ladies, I believe. I usually get them confused, but one of these young ladies had submitted their life to Christ, surrendered her life to Christ. She was battling. All three of these young ladies were battling with various issues such as depression or low self-esteem, maybe addiction issues. And God is moving in their lives. But we need to continue to pray for these three young ladies. The enemy wants to destroy the lives of young people. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan wants to see these three young ladies dead spiritually and dead physically. That's right. Pure evil. He wants them dead. He doesn't want them to have eternal life. He wants their names not written in the book of life. He wants all three of these young ladies to suffer in the lake of fire. Separation from God. We're going to touch and agree for all three of these young ladies right now. Heavenly Father, you see these three young souls, Gabby, Valentina, and Angela. Lord, you're working in their lives even as we speak, Lord God. Father, there may be issues or problems or strongholds, barriers, obstacles that these young ladies are facing in full service to you, Lord God. If they need to be delivered from a stronghold, bring deliverance, Lord God. Free them from whatever they're in bondage to, Heavenly Father. Send believers their way who will witness to them, speak to them, pray with them, talk to them about the gospel. Open up their ears, Lord God, so that they will listen. Soften the heart if it's hardened or cynical towards the gospel. Reveal yourself to them in a mighty way. Help them, Lord God, to consider the things of eternity. Their souls are at stake, Lord God. Don't let them ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit and the word of God that'll come to their ears. Let it fall on good ground, Lord. We pray for the salvation, for the deliverance and salvation of all three of these young ladies. That their names be written in the book of life. Lord, do whatever is necessary. Each one of these young ladies is facing their own particular issues. Lord, you know the details. Work in each of their lives, Lord God, so that they surrender their lives completely and absolutely to you, Heavenly Father. Can't put it any simpler, Lord. Gabby, Valentina, and Angela, save them, Lord. Save them, my God. Save them. Deliver and save them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a dear sister in Christ named China. China is the adult daughter of my dear brother Jamie and his godly wife, my dear sister India. It was about 2 years ago that I got a text message from my dear brother Jamie telling me that after much prayer and supplication and intercession, that China surrendered her life to Christ. And we praise God for that in the name of Jesus. But you know, ground that is gained through prayer has to be held by prayer. And there's always going to be a counterattack, a satanic and demonic counterattack. The enemy wants to lure China back out into the world, maybe discourage her in her walk with Christ. But we need to touch and agree right now and pray that the Spirit of God strengthen China and that she persevere in the faith. Let's touch and agree right now for our sister China. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for my dear sister China, for working and moving in her life, Lord God. She's saved. Her name's written in the book of life. She's going to get raptured. She'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. She might be sitting next to me. We praise you and we thank you for her deliverance and salvation, Lord God. We worship and we praise you. We thank you so much. And now we ask you, Lord God, according to your word, we're going to pray scripture over China. Lord, keep China safe, Lord God. Help her to continuously take refuge in you, to seek you for protection and strength, my God. You are China's Lord. Apart from you, China has no good thing. You alone are China's portion and her cup, and you make her lot secure, Lord God. Help China to keep her eyes always on you. We thank you, Lord God, because you are at China's right hand. She will not be shaken. We rebuke any attempts of the enemy in their attacks against China. Strengthen China against temptation. Give her a hunger for your word. Speak to her as she reads your word, as she eats the scroll. Let your word fall on good ground. Let her life bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. Give China the continued fear of God. Give her wisdom and discernment, so she can discern your will. Give her determination and perseverance to obey your will. Help her to submit her life completely and fully to you. Silence the voices of temptation in her life, Lord God. Turn China's ears and eyes away from worthless things when they come her way to tempt her away, Lord God. The enemy is always there, and we pray for China's perseverance in the faith. Turn China, we've said it before and we'll say it again, turn China into a Ruth, an Esther, a Sarah, and a Mary, Lord God, a Priscilla as well. All the great women of God who served you wholeheartedly. Turn China into all these women in one. Turn her into a Deborah as well, Lord God. Consecrated and committed to you. Bless China's life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. We will continue to pray for China. For her perseverance in the faith. Time is short. This is no time to backslide. And we're going to continue to pray for China, that she hangs on for dear life. And that her commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ continue to grow and grow and grow. She's going to be used. She's being used now by the Lord. I, for one, cannot wait to see her again. We received this prayer request a while back. It's from a mom that lives in Australia. And this mom has two daughters. I think we mention this every week. This mom has two daughters named Lily and Ruby. Lily's 21, Ruby is 19. Both were brought up in the faith. They were worship leaders in the church. Lily did 3 months of Bible evangelizing, and both did Bible studies for the youth. However, about 14 or 15 months ago, they both chose to leave their faith, and they went out nightclubbing. And now they're back out in the world and living in the world. And mom, according to this prayer request, has been crying for months and praying for them both. And she asks that we pray for the speedily return of these two young ladies back to the Lord. Let's touch and agree for these two young ladies right now. Let's enter spiritual warfare. There are not going to be any casualties, at least not from our end. So let's touch and agree for Lily and Ruby. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you for a praying mom who's on her knees interceding and petitioning on behalf of her two daughters. Lord, you see the situation. The enemy has bamboozled, tricked, and connived his way into the lives of these two young ladies. Lord God, he's fooled them, lied to them, into going back out into the world to experience the pleasures of sin for a season. Well, Lord, this may be a pretty short season, Lord God. Your coming can be at any time. We touch and agree right now for Lily and Ruby right now, Lord God. We enter spiritual battle and warfare. The enemy has lured both these young ladies back into his ground. But we're going to conduct a spiritual invasion, and we're invading the enemy's ground right now. Spiritual hand-to-hand combat against Satan. Putting Satan in a chokehold. We rebuke the forces of darkness in the lives of these two sisters in Christ, these two young ladies. We bind the works of the enemy. We bind deception, lies, foolish deceptions that they can experience the pleasures of sin for a season, maybe even for temporarily. Maybe the enemies whispered in their ear to go out in the world for a little bit and then come to Christ later on. It is appointed once unto men to die, and after this to judgment. The rapture could take place any moment now. We touch and agree with Lily and Ruby right now. Lord Jesus, bring them back into camp, Lord God. Convict them of what they're doing. Open up their eyes. They have been deceived. We bind the spirit of deception in their lives, the lies of the enemy. We plead the blood of Jesus over Lily and Ruby right now for spiritual return and restoration. Lord, slam them with the conviction of their backslidden state. Yes, Lord, do what you got to do. Give them a Damascus Road experience. Knock them both down, if necessary, Lord God, to wake up their eyes to the truth that they've been deceived. And right now they're on the narrow path that leads to destruction. The wide path that leads to destruction. Both these sisters, both these young ladies are on the wide path that leads to destruction. Lord God, redirect them. Put them back on the narrow path so that they enter through the narrow gate that leads to eternal life. We plead for their restoration back to the faith, Lord God. We pray for them right now. Lord, this is a spiritual battle. Don't let them stay backslidden, Lord God. But bring them back, Heavenly Father. Bring them back, Lord God. We touch and agree, Lord. Move in a mighty way. Even now, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, whoever they're with, whatever they're thinking, whatever they're saying, convict them, Lord. Like the prodigal son, Lord God, make these two young ladies spiritually homesick. We commit them both into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We have this request for a mom, for her daughter named Margaret. And like we said last week, Margaret was saved several years ago but has struggled with an alternative lifestyle most of her teenage life. And she is now 20 years of age, and she's moved away and is caught up in an ungodly relationship. And Mom asks that we pray that Margaret turn away from this sinful life and return back to the abundant life. Mom asks, please pray that God take this stronghold away and replace it with the truth. Margaret is believing the lies of Satan. We ask the Lord to remove the unnatural desire from her and replace it with his light, life, and truth. Touch and agree with me right now. We're going to echo those words right now. Heavenly Father, we pray for Margaret right now. Lord, she also has been deceived by the lies of the enemy regarding this alternative lifestyle. That it's acceptable, that it's okay, it's normal, it's harmless. All lies from the enemy. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, physically and spiritually. And we lift up Margaret right now. We pray against the spirit of deception. We pull down this stronghold, this demonic stronghold that the enemy has entrapped Margaret in. Lord God, we pray for deliverance. We pray for conviction, Lord God. Open up Margaret's eyes to the truth of her sinful behavior, her waywardness, and her backslidden state. Open up her eyes, Lord God. Her soul's at stake. Again, do what needs to be done in Margaret's life, Lord God. We just touch and agree right now for her deliverance from this and her restoration back into the faith. Do whatever you need to do, Lord God. Take drastic measures if necessary. It's a scary thing to say that, but what's at stake is her eternal soul, eternity in the lake of fire. Restore Margaret back to the faith, Heavenly Father. Open up her eyes to how she's been deceived by the enemy. Let her see the lies. Your word is truth, Lord God. Speak to her through your word. We commit her into your hands. We know you're going to move right now. Right now, wherever Margaret is, whatever she's doing, who she's with, right now, move in Margaret's life. Move, Lord. We rescue her from the enemy's camp, the way Abraham rescued Lot. We enter the enemy's camp, and we launch a spiritual commando raid, rescuing Margaret. Send a battalion of angels, angelic special forces, to rescue Margaret and bring her back into the camp of God. Thank you, Lord, for moving, for hearing this prayer. We thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you in advance. We thank you for this situation, Lord God. You will be glorified in it, Lord. If we believe, all things are possible. And we do believe for Margaret's deliverance and restoration. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Every week we pray for a gentleman by the name of Edgar. Edgar is the adult son of a dear brother and sister in Christ, my dear brother Frank and his godly wife, Rose. Now, Edgar, as we said before, Edgar knows the gospel. His parents have witnessed to him. But he hasn't accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. He may think he has plenty of time, or that he's good enough, or maybe he reads his Bible and he has reverence. No, sir. Again, I said it at the beginning of the podcast. Just because you're living in a garage doesn't mean you're a car. And just because you read your Bible, just because you pray, just because your parents are saved, you may even go to church. It does not mean that you are a believer. Even my brother Jamie shared it earlier. There are a lot of good people that are going to end up in hell. As far as I know, Edgar has never surrendered his life to Christ. We're going to touch and agree right now for Edgar. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for praying parents who don't give up on their sons, like the father in the prodigal son stayed watching the road, waiting for his son's return. And Lord, my dear brother Frank and his wife Rose, Edgar's parents are watching the road, knowing, Lord God, that you will answer their prayer and convict Edgar of his sin. And Lord, we pray, let every stronghold of the enemy resisting Edgar's mind from receiving you, Lord, let it be pulled down, Lord God. Let all hindrances coming between Edgar's heart and the gospel be melted away. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit melt away resistance or self-righteousness, maybe cynicism, sarcasm, bitterness, hardness of heart, indifference or apathy. Melt it all away, Lord God. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn in Edgar's heart with conviction of sin. Lead him to the foot of the cross, my God. Lead him to the foot of the cross. We pray for his deliverance and salvation from whatever he is in bondage to as well. Put a bad taste in his mouth. If he's living for the world, give him a bad taste for worldly things. And give him a spiritual hunger for you, Lord God. Let him realize the emptiness in his life. Create that void. Let him, yes, Lord, let him feel the emptiness and void. Give Edgar no rest until he finds rest in you, Lord. We touch and agree and we thank you for Edgar's salvation. It'll happen. It'll happen. You have your own time and your own process, Lord. It'll happen. It may happen tomorrow. It may happen next week, next month, next year. But we trust you, Lord God, for Edgar's deliverance and salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. We thank you by faith. We don't pay attention to the situation or our feelings. We thank you, Lord, by faith. We trust you. No one who hopes in you will be disappointed or ashamed. We know we will not be ashamed or disappointed. We trust in you. Thank you for Edgar's salvation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Every week we pray for a gentleman by the name of Johnny. Johnny is the adult son of a dear sister who's tuning in right now. Sister, God bless you. I see you're on the air. We're going to touch and agree for Johnny right now. Johnny is in bondage to a variety of things. And Mom has been praying for Johnny. We're going to touch and agree for Johnny's deliverance and salvation. We're going to even ask that the Lord put a burden in Johnny's heart to come to church. There may be a series of events that may have to take place to break Johnny. Let's touch and agree right now. Father, again, we thank you and praise you again for a praying mom who's interceding on behalf of her son, Lord God. Bless this mom. Strengthen her and encourage her to continue and persevere in the faith, never growing faint or losing heart. Bless her. Pour out your spirit on this mom, Lord God. Comfort and encourage. And right now we lift up her son, Johnny, Lord God. Lord, he may be home right now. He may be out in the street. We don't know where he is or what he's doing. But you do, Lord. And we touch and agree right now for Johnny. Lord, we thank you for dying for Johnny's sin, for the sacrifice you made for him. Now, Lord, let this sacrifice pour out in Johnny's life. Let every desire of the enemy on Johnny's soul not prosper, but bring it down. Bring it down, Lord God. We cancel all contracts against Johnny. The enemy wants to see Johnny dead through whatever behavior or vices he has. Well, right now we just enter again the enemy's camp and we rescue Johnny right now. Lord, we pray right now that you convict Johnny of his sin. We bind every spirit of mind blindness in Johnny's life in the name of Jesus. Open up his eyes to the truth of the gospel. Let him see his need for a savior. Let him realize he needs a savior. Let him realize that he is a sinner in need of salvation. Let him realize that this life is temporary. Let him realize that, Lord, his life is empty without you, Lord God. You came that we may have life and have it abundantly, Lord. And so we commit Johnny into your hands, his deliverance and salvation. Convict of sin, soften the hardened heart, open the closed eyes, and bring Johnny to the point. Through whatever series of events is necessary, Lord God, we commit him into your hands, that whatever happens, happens for the sake of his salvation. Do what's necessary, Lord God. Break them down if you have to. Melt away any resistance. In Jesus' name, we commit Johnny into your hands, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, Lord God. Put a burden in Johnny's heart to come to church. Any church where your gospel is preached, Lord God. Put an emptiness, yes, Lord. Let Johnny feel that his life is empty. It is, Lord God. Without you, our lives are empty, Lord Jesus. Let Johnny feel that emptiness that only you can fill, Lord God. We commit Johnny into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a young man by the name of Matthew. And at one point, Matthew was having a lot of legal issues. There were issues with involvement with the occult, with suicide and depression. There were many legal issues that Matthew was going through. Now, we don't have any updates. We don't know how Matthew is doing right now. But, you know, the Lord knows where Matthew is. The Lord knows what's going on. And that's all that's necessary. We hope to receive word as to how Matthew is doing. But until then, let's commit Matthew into the Lord's hands. Heavenly Father, we touch and agree for Matthew right now, Lord. And God, you see exactly where Matthew is, Lord. We don't know where he is. We don't know what's going on, but you know. You know all the details, Lord. Lord, work in Matthew's life, Lord God. Let there be no peace or rest in Matthew's mind until he surrenders his life completely to you, Lord God. Whatever needs to be done, whatever series of events needs to take place, Lord, we pray that you work all things for Matthew's good so that all things work towards him coming to you and surrendering his life to you, Heavenly Father. We bind a strong man that may be working in Matthew's life, that is working in Matthew's life. We bind a strong man and we spoil his goods. And those goods are Matthew's soul. We rescue Matthew from the enemy's camp. We plead the blood of Jesus over Matthew. Lord God, deliver Matthew and save him. Again, Lord, we don't know what's going on, but you know exactly where Matthew is and what's happening in his life. So touch him, deliver him, save him, and bless him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Every week we pray for a young man by the name of Curtis. Now, Curtis is the adult son of a dear sister in Christ who lives in Texas, who tunes in regularly. She's a member of Parents of Prodigals. We refer to her as Texas Mom. And we have been praying for Curtis for a long time. Well, it wasn't that long ago, actually, when Mom testified, and she came on the air on one of our podcasts to testify that Curtis had surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And not only that, the Lord is blessing Curtis's life. He has blessed him with a job, and he is moving in Curtis's life in a mighty way. But again, we've said it before, we need to continue to pray for these prodigals who have returned to the faith and have surrendered their life to Christ, that the enemy doesn't snatch them away or lure them away. Let's pray for Mom as well. Heavenly Father, we touch and agree for this godly woman in Texas, Lord. We pray for her continued perseverance in the faith. A woman of God, a Deborah, an Esther, a Sarah, continue to make this Texas mom the powerful woman of God that you are moving in her life to make her to be. Bless her prayer life. When she reads your word, speak to her, teach her, guide her, reprove her, encourage her. Move in a mighty way in her life. Let your Holy Spirit permeate her home. Let her home be an upper room with tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit permeating her home right now, Lord God. We lift up her son Curtis right now. We thank you for Curtis's deliverance and salvation. We thank you and praise you that you moved in Curtis's life, and now his name is written in the book of life, and he will attend the marriage supper of the Lamb. He will be raptured. He will spend eternity with you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for hearing our prayer, for answering prayer, and for saving Curtis. And now we pray for his continued perseverance in the faith, Lord God. Lord, just bless Curtis's life, Heavenly Father. We thank you that you opened up doors for him for a good paying job. Help him to be a responsible and good employee, Lord God. Bless his walk with you. Give him a closer and closer relationship with you, Lord God. Don't let this be just a superficial commitment, Heavenly Father. Turn Curtis into a powerful man of God. Turn Curtis into Enoch, Gideon, Elijah, Jeremiah, and Isaiah, or Paul, or Peter, or Aquila, or James, or Matthew, or Samson, or Moses, or Joshua, or Elisha, or Abraham, all the great men of God, or David, walking in close fellowship with you, committed to you. Let this be true in Curtis's life, Lord God. Pour out your spirit upon him. Give him Holy Ghost zeal and fire to live for you. An undivided heart. Let Curtis have an undivided heart, Lord God. Let him put away any detestable thing and not waver, not wander, but fully and totally consecrated and committed to you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've reached the end of this edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast, and I want to thank you for tuning in. You know, there are many people who are listening live to this podcast, and because of time differences in many different localities, or perhaps some people are in the same area, but maybe they can't tune in because of other responsibilities. Maybe they're working. They'll be tuning in, or they'll be listening to this podcast after downloading it. And that's fine too. The Spirit of God will move just as mightily in a downloaded podcast as he can in person. And so we thank you. If you've tuned in live, we pray that you were blessed by this podcast. And if you're listening right now through the download, again, we pray you will be blessed and that the Spirit of God will be poured forth upon you. And now I want to mention that at the end of May, and I believe the date is, and I'm going to look at my calendar and double check it for sure. I believe it is on Thursday, May 23rd is what we're looking at. Thursday, May 23rd. We will be having a special live guest on the Parents of Prodigals podcast. A brother, Fred Jacoby, who is a mental health professional with Foundations Christian Counseling just outside of Binghamton, New York. He will be live and on the air with us here on Parents of Prodigals. Now, I would never negate or dismiss the role of the supernatural and the demonic and the satanic in the lives of our prodigal sons and daughters or in the lives of believers. Satan is always moving to destroy. Again, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But also many of our prodigals and even some believers struggle with certain emotional and personal issues. And Brother Fred Jacoby is, again, a Christian mental health therapist, and he will be live and on the air to talk about how we can deal through Christian principles and strategies with some of the issues we may be facing. Yes, Christians sometimes go through bouts of melancholy and depression. Some believers do have low self-esteem. The enemy's attacking. But there is a role to play in mental health counseling. And our dear brother Fred is a Christian mental health therapist. And he will be, again, live and on the air, taking your questions regarding these issues. Some of our prodigals are dealing with bipolar disorders, biochemical issues, or clinical depression. It's not a sin to take medication. God gives doctors wisdom. And so our dear brother Fred will be live and on the air to take your questions. In fact, we encourage you to submit your questions ahead of time. You can go on the Parents of Prodigals website, parentsofprodigals.us, and there is a tab there to submit prayer requests, but we invite you to submit not only prayer requests, but submit your questions for our dear brother Fed. So when he comes live and on the air, we can feed him these questions and he can address them ahead of time. Or you may decide you want to come live and on the air and speak to him. Again, this will be on Thursday, May 23rd at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Parents of Prodigals podcast. There is a role for mental health professionals. And our dear brother Fred was called by the Lord to serve in this capacity. I'm sure it will be a blessing to many of you who tune in. But until then, the next time we will be on the air again will be next Thursday, May 2nd at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And so, if you are the parent of a wayward and unsaved son and daughter, and you live in New York, California, North or South Carolina, Oklahoma, Massachusetts, Connecticut, or Idaho, and you're praying for the deliverance and salvation of your unsaved son and daughter, if you are the parent of a prodigal son and daughter, and you live in Ohio, Utah, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Montana, Maryland, or Tennessee, and you're burdened for your unsaved son and daughter. They may be out there in the world doing drugs or drinking or in a gang or out in the street, and you are burdened that they come to Christ, and you're praying for them. If you are the parent of a wayward or backslidden son and daughter, and you live in Louisiana, Oregon, Washington State, Nebraska, Wyoming or Mississippi, Arkansas, Michigan, New Mexico, Rhode Island, or Indiana, If you are the parent of an unsaved, backslidden or wayward son and daughter, and you live in Mexico, Canada, the Philippines, the Netherlands, Tanzania or Japan, Russia, the United Kingdom, the Philippines, Uganda or Brazil, and you a burden for their deliverance and salvation, you want their names written in the book of life, you want them to have life abundant, if you are the parent of an unsaved, backslidden, or wayward son and daughter, and you want their names written in the book of life, you want them raptured, you don't want them to experience a Christless eternity, you are burdened, you are praying, you are fasting for their deliverance and salvation that they come to Christ. If you are that parent or guardian, continue in prayer, being watchful therein. And watch the road. Watch the road. Your prodigal, my prodigal, our prodigals will be on it. Until next Thursday, May 2nd at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Brother Alan Weir on behalf of all of us here at Parents of Prodigals, wishing you a good night, and God bless you. Good night.